Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun. We're learning today, Lili Nishmas, my mother, as your site is tonight. We're learning Lili Nishmas, Imi Morosi, Chana Bas Rabbi Avram. I owe everything that I have to my mother and to my father, Alei Mashalom, for going through what my mom went through, for going through the Shoah, going through Auschwitz, and yet coming here after she lost her entire family to come and rebuild in America and to raise a family, a beautiful family of Kenayin Hara, many children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Kenayin Hara, Ken Yirbu. I owe a tremendous Hakaras HaTov to her. So we're learning Lili Nishmasa. All the shots we learn for Shadar Aliyah from our learning. Okay, so we pick up on Nun Amud Aleph at the two dots, about 10, 15 lines down, with the words of Omar Mar Zutra, Bered Rav Nachman, Mishmed Rav Nachman. Yesterday, at the end of the year, we had a statement that Mar Zutra, who was the son of Rav Nachman, made, and today we have another statement that Mar Zutra was the son of Rav Nachman, that he said. Here, he says it over the name of his father, Rav Nachman. And he says, Shtar Chov Hayotze Al HaYisomim. If you have a Shtar Chov that goes out against the Yisomim, in other words, the Yisomim's father, he passed away, and he owed money to people. So there's a document against the father of the Yisomim that he owes people money. So let's say the father of the Yisomim is Yaakov, and Yaakov owes money, and he never didn't have the money to pay back in his lifetime. And now, in his estate, the estate has property, and that property is leaned for this debt. So the Yisomim are going to be collected against. So Shtar Chov Hayotze Al Yisomim. So Afal Pi Shekasu Bo Shvach, even though the father had written down that, yes, you, Reuven, who lent Yaakov money, you are entitled to collect from me, Yaakov, you're entitled to collect from me, from Shevach, as Rashi points out, Shehisna im hamalve legavos beidis, even though normally Baachov only collects from Beninis, but he wrote in the document in order to help get the loan. So he said, I will pay you back for my best properties. So even though that was written down in the document, nevertheless, when you come to go collect from Yaakov's children, from Shimon, let's say, so in that situation, eino gove elam aniziburis. Even though the loan states that you can go collect from the father, from the idiot's properties, the best properties, when you're going to collect from Yisomim, because we have a general rule, you never collect from Yisomim elam aniziburis. So in this situation as well, eino gove elam aniziburis. So that is what Mar Zutra said over the name of his father, Rav Nachman. Now, Amr Abaye, Abaye adds this, he says, Teda, I'll show you that this is right, because the Baal Chov, Dine, the Beninis. A Baal Chov is normally allowed to collect the Torah from Beninis land. Umiyasmi, and nevertheless, even though the Torah grants him the right to collect from Beninis, nevertheless, from the Yisomim, he's only allowed to collect Biziburis. So certainly over here, where it's not in the Torah, it was just written into the document that he can collect from the best properties of the idiot, so certainly ain't no gova element is yours. That's what Abaye wants to say. Rava does not like this at all. Only Rava says to Abaye, what are you talking about? Hachi hashta, how can you make this comparison over here? Baal chov, dine mid araisa biziburis. The halacha is really that mid araisa, a baal chov is only allowed to collect from the least properties, from the most inferior property, biziburis. And this is based upon what Ula said, Kedula. What did Ula say? The Amar Ulu said, based upon the Psukim, you'll see that Dvar Torah Baal Chov Biziburis, that a Baal Chov is only allowed to collect Minat Torah from Ziburis, not from Beninis. And this is based upon the Pasuk, where it tells us, Shenemar Bachutz Tamod Va'ish V'chule. So the person who is going to try to collect the collateral, he lends somebody money, and now he wants to get a collateral for it, so he has to stand outside while the person inside gives him the collateral. Now, what is the nature of the person inside who has borrowed the money, what type of collateral is he going to give? Mar darko shel ish lahotzi, the nature of a person, what is he going to give as collateral? Pachos shebekelim, he's going to give from the least of his kelim. As Rashi says, shemi ritzono lo yipara idias, he's not going to certainly give from the best, he's going to give from the worst. And Rashi says this is with Kalim. Tosus points out, Dira Maskul Pasuk with Kalim, Vuadin Kishaboli Tin Lo Karka. If he has to give him Karka as collateral, Nosin Lo Pachol Shebekarki Yosov. He's going to give him from the least of his Karka, the Hainu Ziburis. So Min HaTorah, Ula says that the Torah says you can only collect his Abachov from Ziburis. And Umatam Omru Bachov Beninis. Why do the rabbis in our Mishnah say that Abachov can collect from Beninis? In order to facilitate loans. People aren't going to lend money if they're going to collect from inferior property. So, therefore, the rabbi said, Kidei shalotino delis b'vnei lovin, so we'll allow you to go collect even benis. So, mid araisa, you're only allowed to collect from ziburis. So, therefore, Rava says, the gabe yasme, in regards to the Yisomim, the rabbi said, we'll leave the din the way it is. Ok mua rabbonun ad araisa. Therefore, in this case of Yisomim, the rabbi said, we're not going to make any gezeros over here, Kadesh Lotino Delis when you're, we're going to go and say that you can do only what the Din Daraisa says, which is that you can only collect from Ziburis. So that's by the Yisomim. However, here, Elohacha, what was the case over here? When I said that Yaakov, the father, borrowed money and he wrote in the Shtar, you can collect from Idias, so now midiraisa, even the dine midiraisa b'idias, since it's written into a shtar, so that's a din daraisa. The shtar is what we followed, so that's now a din daraisa that the lender to Yaakov the father is allowed to go and collect from the idias. So therefore, afilu miyasme nami b'idias. So Rava says the same din applies to the yisomim. So even though normally we don't allow you to collect from Abachov other than Siburis, and certainly we would establish that for the Yisomim, unless it goes against the Din Daraisa. And here it goes against the Din Daraisa. So how can you, Abayik, compare the two cases? They're not comparable. Some more questions. This really, Ula Rava? That's really true what you're saying, Rava? For Tani Avram Chozor. We learned Avram, who was the name of a person who came from Bei Chozor, Avram Chozor, he said, Ein Nifroim Minichsa Yisomim, he stated that you're not allowed to go collect from the Yisomim except from the Ziburis. And he says that's true, Vafilu Hain Nizokin, even if there were damages. And damages, the din is, Von Nizokin Dinon Midoraiso Beidis, that you're allowed to collect from damages, Meta Sodeh, Meta Komo Yishalem. We discussed that Nizak is allowed to collect Midoraiso from Idias. And therefore, here it's a din daraisa to collect idias, and nevertheless, Avram Chozor said you're only allowed to collect min ha'isomim min ha'ziburis. So therefore, Rava, how can you say, well, it's a din daraisa that the father wrote in the shtar that you can collect from the idias, so therefore, automatically, the isomim also will be able to collect from the idias? No. We see, even by din daraisa of nizakin, you're not allowed to go collect from the idias, you have to collect from the ziburis. So kash on you, Rava. So Rava says, no. This din that was just said, kigon shohaisa idias the nizak kiziburis the mazik. Oh, that's our famous machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What happens if the nizak only has A, B, and C properties, C being his best property, and the mazik has C, D, E, and F properties? So the C property of the mazik is his worst property, but it's equal to the best property of the nizak. So kigoyin shoyse idias the nizak kiziburis the mazik. They both have C properties. For the mazik, it's his worth. For the nizak, it's his best. For Rabbi Shmuel, and this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says the amar midaraisa b'denizak shaminan, that in fact midaraisa mazik would only have to pay the C property to the Nizak, because you have to pay like the best of the Nizak. So he has the best of the Nizak in C properties, even though it's his worst property. So midaraisa, the Mazik could give the C property over to the Nizak. However, umibnei tikkun olam, in order the rabbi set up that people should be more careful watching their animals, they shouldn't go damage other people, tokina rabbonu mid the Mazik. So he said, no, you have to go pay with the F property that you have, the Mazik, not with the C property that midaraisa you would have to pay. And therefore, v'gabe yasme, in regards to the Yisomim, Okmur Rabban and Adaraisa. The rabbis left it at the Din Daraisa. And that's what it's talking about, and therefore it's not a kasha on Rava. Mark continues and says, really? Rava, you still think you're correct by saying that we leave the Din by Daraisa? And therefore, in the case of the person, Yaakov, who had borrowed money and said, in the shtar, I'll pay you back with idiots. You can collect, Rava said, you can collect from the Yisomim from idiots. Really? Ini, is that so? But we have another Nemra. Vatani Rabbi Eliezer Nitva. Rabbi Eliezer, who came from the city Nitva, said, Ein Nifroim Minichsa Yisomim Elo Min HaZiburis. You're not allowed to go and collect from the Yisomim, except from the Ziburis. As we've mentioned already many times, that is his Shita as well. And then he adds what will be an enigmatic statement, Vafilu Hain Idias, even if they are Idias. So what's going on over here? What do you mean, they're Idias? You said you can only collect from the Ziburas. How could the Ziburas be Idias? So what does it mean, my Afilu Hain Idias, enigmatic statement? So Gemara wants to suggest, doesn't it mean, Lav Afal Gav Dechsev Idias Bishtara? Isn't exactly talking about our case, that the din is you can collect only for the Ziburis. But if you wrote into the document that you can collect from the idiots, you still can only collect from the Ziburis. Vafilu hain idiots. Isn't that what it means? And therefore, Kashon Rava goes exactly the opposite of what Rava said. Rava says, no, that's not what it means. Lo. In fact, when it says over here, Vafilu hain idiots, what does it mean? My idiots? It means Shifai idiots. It means that there was idiots property, but it got sunken underwater. It got destroyed by something. And therefore, there once upon a time was this idiots property, but it's no longer there. Shifai idias. Rashi says, Li'achar Hezek. It's after it was damaged in some way. Vadayin yeshlo idias ubeninis viziburis others. He has other idiot's properties that aren't as good as this idiot's property that was designated, or he has many of his properties as Yibur's properties. Elazu Hoysa Yofim Oh, this was his best property. But this best property was destroyed. And therefore, this idea from Avram Nitva, it goes in accord exactly with Rava Shita, because Kedi Rava, like Rava himself said elsewhere, the Amar Rava, Hizik Ziburius, Govim in Idius. If you go and damage somebody, so they're allowed to go and collect from the Idius. Now, Shifai Idius, however, if there was the best Idius that he had that got destroyed, Shifai it is then Gove Min HaBeninis. Then he doesn't have to give him his next best property after that. He's allowed to just give him Beninis properties. So you see that in this situation over here, V'gabe Yasme Ukmua Rabbanan Adi Araisa. So here, the din is that he's no longer allowed to go collect from Shifai Idius because it's not there. So once you don't collect from Shifai Idius, so then you can give him Ziburius, even Midaraisa. And that's how Rava is consistent with Rava Shita elsewhere, and that's why Rava says, if there isn't Shifai Idius, like the case of Avram Nitva, but you're dealing over here with regular Idius, so then, in fact, if it's documented in the Shtar, when Yaakov borrowed money, he said, you'll be able to collect from me from Idius, even though you normally would only be entitled to collect from a lower level property, so if that property is still around, if that Idius property is still there, then you can even collect that from the Yisomim and Rava Lishita, so not a problem. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Ein nifra minichse yisomim elamin ziburis." So our Mishnah said this din as well, that you're not allowed to collect from the yisomim except from ziburis. Now, boy, Rav Achduvoy Barami, said, "Yisomim sha'amru." These yisomim that we're talking about, are they only kitanim or afilu gedolim, or are they even including gedolim? Right? There's a reason why the rabbis protected the yisomim so much, but is that reason because they are very young? And as a result, it would be very difficult for them to sell inferior property, these Ziburis properties. So the rabbi took mercy on them and said, no, you can only collect from the orphans their Ziburis properties. And this way they'll have the better properties that they'll go live off and sell, etc. But therefore, this would only apply to very young orphans. Why would we take more mercy necessarily on a 25-year-old orphan in saying that, well, you're going to have trouble selling off your Ziburis properties? Well, the 25-year-old lender is also going to have trouble selling off the Ziburis properties. So why would we necessarily favor the older orphan, the Gedolim orphans, than we would the lenders or people that are owed money by these Yisomim? We wouldn't necessarily favor one worse than the other. So maybe in this situation, it's only talking about Ketanim, because we have mercy on the Ketanim because they'll have difficulty selling off the Ziburis, but we wouldn't have the same mercy on the Gedolim. They could sell off the Ziburis. Or do we say no, that it even applies to Gedolim? Because what's the rationale why we're merciful on the Yisomim? Because they don't know what their father's business was. Maybe, in fact, the father paid it back. Maybe, in fact, the father had another explanation over here, and there are other details that they don't know about. So this would be true whether the Yisomim are Kitanu or whether the Yisomim are Gedolim. The Yisomim could be a 60-year-old guy, but he doesn't know his father's business necessarily, and therefore we are merciful here on the Yisomim, whether the Kitanu or Gedolim. That's the question that Rav Achduvoy Barami asked when we said over here the Yisomim can only collect from Ziburis. Was it talking about Kitanim, or was it even talking about Yisomim that are Gedolim? So the Gemara says, Takantahi the Ovid Rabbonin Gabi Yasmi. This is the takana that the rabbis made for the Yisomim. And therefore, Liktanim Ovid Rabbonin, Likdolim Ovid Rabbonin. As I said, this was something because the young children are going to have a difficult time selling off Ziburis property. So therefore, the rabbis made a takana to help out the young children. But Lav Dafka, the older children that are Yisomim, a 40-year-old guy, they didn't make a takana to help him out. Or maybe not. Oh, Dilmore, you know what went on over here? Mishum de lo masik adai to the malva. The malva, the one who's lending the money to the father of the orphans. So he never ever had in mind a thought that the mislovit, that this guy's going to die. The nofle nifse kamayasmi. He wasn't expecting him to die, and that the loan would fall upon the orphans to pay back. And therefore, the Hava lay Noel Delis. In this situation, there is no concern in his mind that he won't lend money because, if I know that this guy dies, I'm only going to be able to collect from Ziburis. That doesn't factor into his decision to lend money or not. And therefore, this would not be a reason for a person not to lend money. And therefore, Hilkach Afil Gdolim Nami. And therefore, this was a takana that the rabbis made because the Yisomim don't really know what went on with the father's business. So they made this takana. You can only collect from Ziburis, whether the Ketanim or the Gedolim. So these are the two sides of the coin. What's the answer? The Gemara says, Toshma. The Tone Abaye Kashisha, the older Abaye said, there a number of times we have Abaye mentioned in the Gemara, different Abaye, so this is the older Abaye. This is not the standard Abaye that we have. This is the Tone Abaye Kashisha, Yisomim Sha'amu Gedolim. The Yisomim that we're talking about are even Gedolim, and certainly the Ketanim, in other words, The basic idea was that when a person lends money to another person, he's not worried that that person will die and then he'll have to go collect from the Yisomim, and that will be Ziburis, and therefore he won't lend money. That will not be a situation where you'll be locking the door from the people who need money. So therefore, that's not a concern. And therefore, since the Yisomim, Gedolim, and Ketanim don't know what their father's business was, so therefore the rabbis made the Takana. That's what we want to bring over here from Abaye Kashisha. Of course, it's not Lavdavka. Vidoma, maybe not. Hani, Mili, Lian Yeshua. Maybe this is only talking about a Shua. Yes, the Yisomim don't know their father's business, so therefore, anybody could make claims up against their father, and they have no way of knowing whether it's true or not. So therefore, the rabbis instituted that anybody collecting from the orphans has to make a Shua, that he wasn't paid back, that that it really was a true loan, and that these are true facts. So we make everybody make a Shua. Oh, that we understand why you have to make a Shua. However, the Gadol b'mili davu kikatan dami, because in that situation, even the Gadolim, the 40, 60-year-old son who's now an orphan, has no idea what his father's business was. And therefore, we make everybody make a shua when you're collecting from orphans across the board. Kitanim o'kidolim. Now, avolinian ziburis, but in regards to the ziburis, maybe the reasoning is that, in fact, that the young children, the kitanim, will have a difficult time selling the ziburis, whereas the older children will not. They know the business world a little bit better, and they'll be able to sell off the ziburis. And therefore, avolinian ziburis low. And therefore, we don't have a riot to this. So Gemara says, how do we paskin the hilchasa? We turn to nun omud beis. The aloch is, in fact, yisomim sh'omu is gedolim, bein tzorach lomar kitanim, bein lishvua, bein l'ziburis. Across the board, the rabbis instituted this protection built in for the Yisomim. They were concerned that the Yisomim really don't know their father's business, and therefore, whether it's a Shua, and even for Ziburis, you're only allowed to go and collect from the Yisomim if you make a Shua, that these are the true facts, that you weren't paid back, etc., etc., and you're only allowed to collect from Ziburis across the board, even if they're Gedolim. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Ein niframi nichasim mishubadim." We said in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to go and collect from nichasim mishubadim b'makum sheish ben chorin, b'nei chorin. Then when there are properties that the person has, so even if they're not the same level as you're supposed to collect, so let's say you're allowed to collect from Beinonis, and he doesn't have any Beinonis. He only has Ziburis, but he had sold subsequent to the loan, he had sold off properties that were Beinonis. Now, a Bachor was allowed to go and collect from the Beinonis. So in this situation, you would think that maybe he's allowed to go to the lien property, take the lien property, then have the guy that bought that lien property go and collect back from the guy who took out the loan. No, we don't say that. We say, B'malkum sheish ben chorim. If in this situation, let's put it together, Reuven lent money to Shimon. Shimon owes Reuven money. Meanwhile, after that loan, Shimon went and sold a property that was Beinonis to Levi. Now, Reuven wants to collect a loan from Shimon. Shimon doesn't have the money, but he has a Ziburis property. But he had, subsequent to the loan, sold a Beinonis property to Levi. So you might have thought that Reuven has the right to say, listen, I'm entitled to collect from Beinonis, and therefore, I'm going to Levi. I'm going to take the Beinonis property from Levi. No, let Levi go back and argue with you. Say, hey, I bought a property from you, and therefore, you have to give me your Ziburis property and do it that way. So the Mishnah tells us, no. If Shimon has properties extant, even though they're not the right level, even though they're Ziburis, so Reuven would have to collect from those Ziburis properties and can't go to the lien properties that Levi had bought from Shimon and say, give me that Beninis property. Now, again, we have Rav Achdavoy Barami asking a question. Boy, Rav Achdavoy Barami b'matano hech. Okay, this is great when there's a sale, but what about a matana, in regards to a sale? So Levi bought this property, and he saw that Shimon had enough property left that they're never going to come to him for the loan. And that's why he was able to buy it. He did a title search. He saw that Shimon still had other properties, and therefore he knows that they're going to come to Shimon before they come to him. But what about a gift? Let's say instead of buying it from Shimon, Shimon had given it as a gift to Levi. Levi didn't pay anything in that situation. What's the halacha in that situation? Does Reuven have the right to go to Levi and take this gift, or not? So, do we say, Takanta, who the Ovid Rabbanon? The rabbis made a takana for Levi when he bought the land from Shimon, Mishum Pseidid L'Kuchos, because he's going to be out money. He bought this band in this land, and even if he's able to eventually get Zibur's land, that's not what he bought. And certainly he may not be able to get it. So therefore, Mishum Pseidid L'Kuchos, the rabbis made a takana that you can't collect from Mishubadim if this Bnei Chorin available. Avo Matana, if Levi got it as a Matana, the Lekka Pseidah the Lekuchos, he loses no money if they go and take that property from him. It was given to him as a Matana. So maybe in this situation, lo, we don't say the rule, Ein from Nechasim Mishubadim, the Malkum Sheish Ben Nechorin, and we say, no, go collect from the Matana, because you're entitled to that, the Beinonis. Or do we say, Oduma, no, Matana Nami, even a Matana, has an aspect of it of lukuchos, the person who got the matana, having a hefset. Because ilav de isle hanomine, if it wasn't somehow that Levi had done something nice to Shimon in the past, Shimon wouldn't have given him the property. Lo yov le matana. And therefore, now, when Shimon gives Levi that matana, it's a little bit like Levi bought it with whatever good deed he had done to acquire it, have Shimon want to give him this matana. V'hilkach keep seder the lekuchas dami. Therefore, if this is taken from him, he's not going to be able to go and tie in, hey, you got to pay me back for the matana that you gave me. The guy says, listen, sorry, I gave you matana. They took it away. I'm not paying you another matana. And therefore, there will be a seder to lekuchas. There will be a seder to Levi. And therefore, the rabbi said, ain't it from the chosim mishubadim, but mokum sheish b'nei chorim, even if the mishubadim were via a matana. Those are the two sides of the question. A Rav Achduvoy Bar Ami. Gemara says, "Amalei Mar Kishisha Bereid Rav Chisla Rav Ashi." So Mar Kishisha, who was the son of Rav Chisla, said to Rav Ashi, "Why was he known as Mar Kishisha?" So there's two interpretations over here. He actually had two sons. He named them both Mar. I'm not sure why. The word doesn't explain elsewhere why he named both of his sons Mar, but he did. And Rashi holds that the older son was called Mar Kishisha, and the younger son was called Mar Yinuka. Tosa says the exact opposite. Tosa says that the older son, who was born when Rav Chisda was young, he's called Mar Yinuka. And the younger son, who was born when Rav Chisda was older, he's called Mar Kishisha. In any event, famous machlokes between Rashi and Tosos as to which one was the older son, which was the younger son, even though Mar Kishisha sounds like he's the older son, Mar Yinuka sounds like he's the younger son. That's the way Rashi understands it. Tosos says the exact opposite. In any event, this Mar Kishisha, who's the son of Rechista, wanted to answer our question by speaking to Rav Ashi in the following way. He said, Toshma, we have a brisa that says, Shchiv Meira, a person on his deathbed, who says, and the words of Shchiv Meira are Kiksuvim Umesurim Domi. So they would write a document as to what the Shchiv Meira said, but it wasn't transferred over via a document. So Shchiv Meira Shiyamah, the Shchiv Meira said, Tenu Masayim Zuz Liploni, give 200 Zuz to Ploni, to Ruven, and give Gimu Meos Liploni, and give 300 to Shimon, and Vidal Meos Liploni, and give 400 to Yudah. And now, all of his money is given away. Now, there's a lien on the estate of the person that gave away all this money. So he gave away 200, 300, and 400. He gave away a total of 900 zuz, and there's a lien on the estate for a certain amount of money. Now, the guy with the lien on the estate comes to the estate to go collect it. So, Mar Kishisha, Brother Rechista said, Ein omrim kol hakol d'mishtar zoch. We don't say, well, the guy that got 200, so he's okay. The guy got 300, he's okay. The guy got 400, the person who is owed money by the estate, so he gets to go first to the guy that got the 400 and take it. So if the entire loan was 400, he'll take the entire 400 from the last guy. If it was 500, he'll take 400 from the last guy and then go to the guy who got the 300 and take 100 from him. And if it was more than that, so he'll keep on going all the way back to the beginning. If the total loan was 900, he'll take it from all of them. But we don't say over here, Ein omrim kol hakol d'mishtar zoch. We don't say that because we don't have an order over here. He had to say, one of them, I'm giving you 200, one and 300, one and 400. It didn't mean I'm giving you 200 first. I'm giving you 300 second. I'm giving you 400 third. No, he had to write down, I'm giving you 200, you 300, you 400. And therefore, you can't take any precedence over here from the order. Lefikach, therefore, yotz olav shtar chov, if a shtar chov came against him. So like I said, let's say there was a $500 loan that were given by this person, and he never paid it back. And now he has 900 zuz in his estate, and he gave 200 to Reuven, 300 to Shimon, and 400 to Yehuda. So when this creditor comes and says, listen, the estate owes me 500, go over me kulan. He will take from all of them 500. In other words, will prorate it out. So it'll be 2-3-4 ratio that he'll go get his 500 back from them. So therefore, they'll each pay prorated the amount of money to make the 500 up. So Rashi explains, you break up the 500 into 9 parts. So the 500, we broke it up into 9 parts. The first person will pay 2 of those 9 parts. The second person will pay 3 of those 9 parts. And the third person will pay 4 of those 9 parts. In all, he'll get 9/9. He'll get his whole loan back, and they'll prorate it out. Go v'mikula. That's what Mar Kishisha said. However, if the Shchiv Meira said it differently, Avol Imame, if the Shchiv Meira said, Tnu Masayim Zuz Liploni, and then the Achar of Liploni, and then the Achar of Liploni. See, here there is an order of precedence. So he first gives Reuven the 200. You get this first. And then subsequently says, and now, after Reuven gets the 200, I want you to give Shimon 300. And then after you give Shimon the 300, I want you to give Yehuda the 400. So, Tenum Azayim Zuz Liploni, Vachar Liploni, Vachar Liploni. Now there is an order of precedence over here. And therefore, Omrim, Kol HaKol, Mishtar Zohar. Therefore, Reuven is the most protected. He can only be gotten to if there's 700 in outstanding loans and now they're coming to him for more than the 700. Otherwise, he says, go collect from the second guy, the third guy, go collect from them first. In other words, first go collect from the third guy. So the third guy, he was given 400. So if the outstanding loan is up to 400, good. The third guy's out all the money or whatever the 400 is being asked and he is left with whatever's left. If it's more than 400, then they'll start going from the third guy, they'll take his entire 400, and then they'll go to the second guy, and they'll go up to 300 with him. So let's say it's 500, so he'll have to give up 100. If it goes to 700, he'll have to give up his entire 300. And the first guy is still sitting pretty with his 200. It's only if it's more than 700 zuz can they have a right to come to him. Lefikach, therefore, yotz olav shtar chov, gov minu achron, ein lo gov min shalafonav, ein lo mil shalifnei fonav. Therefore, you do follow this pecking order that we just discussed. Okay. Now, the afal gav de kamor beinonisu basozibiris. Now, here's where Markashisha brings his raya. He says, this is true even though there are different levels of property. This wasn't cash that he was collecting, these were properties. So, therefore, let's say the 200 property was beinonis, and let's say the 300 and 400 properties were ziburis. So, one could argue that the person who has the chov against the estate can say, listen, I'm entitled to go and collect from the Beinonis properties. And therefore, you are the one with the Beinonis properties, and I'd rather go to you first, because I'd rather go and collect the Beinonis property than have to deal with Ziburis properties. So you might have thought that that would be the case. Ah, mi Ziburis gavi, and therefore mi Beinonis lo gavi, shmami no, bimatona nami ovud rabbonin takanta. And you see from here that even though Reuven, the first guy, has Beinonis properties, nevertheless, he can push him off. This was given to him as a matana. Nevertheless, he can push him off and say, go collect from the second guy, go collect from the third guy, go collect from the guy that has the 400 property, even though it's Ziburis, before you come to me and collect from my Beninus property. Oh, that's Markishish's raya, that even by a matana, we follow the same rule that if they're Nechosim that are Mishubadim, they can't be collected from if there's prior B'nei Chorin. And to this situation, the third person, he's considered like B'nai Chorin compared to the Mishubadim of the first person. Okay. Gemara says, Lav Dafka. Because you know what? Hochmai Askinon, B'Baal Chov. We're dealing over here with the Baal Chov. These weren't over here people that were given a Matana. This case where he said, Tanu, give this guy 200, give this guy 300, and afterwards give this guy 400. So that was not a Matana, it was a Baal Chov. Because, hey, it said the word Tanu. But Tanu Kamar, how can you tell me that it was a Baal Chov? That he was distributing his property to pay off his debts. It said, Tanu, give. Doesn't that sound like a matana? Shmuel says, no, it meant Tanu Bechovi. He said, first go pay back Reuven, give him the 200 that I owe him. Tanu meant the 200 that I owe him. Then go to Shimon and give him the 300 that I owe him. Then go to Levi and give him the 400 that I owe him. So therefore, the Tanu over here is talking about a chov and not a matana, and therefore you have no raya makashisha from this case. Or says, well, wait a second. In that situation, just because he said, go pay back Reuven first, and then go pay back Shimon second, and go pay back Levi third, so, v'lechse shtara d'man kodim. That's not the way it works. Whoever has the prior loan, so even if Levi was third in this document of the Shchiv Meira, nevertheless, if Levi has the earliest loan, so he's the most protected. And in fact, Levi could say, hey, my loan was earlier. And when I gave him the loan, I knew there'd be plenty of properties to go collect from. So therefore, you can't collect from me, even though I mentioned third in this document. My loan is an earlier loan. And therefore, the Levi started demand the kodim. So why are we looking at what the Shchiv Meira wrote down, whether he wrote Reuven first or Shimon first or Levi first, go see which loan was first. And that guy's the most protected. So I said, no, we're dealing here, the Lekushtara. It was all without documents over here. So we don't know whether Reuven's loan was first, Shimon's loan was first, or Levi's loan was first, and therefore we have to follow the words of the Shlimimah. I think says, V'hol kol akod mishtar komar, but it says, whichever one comes first in the document is the one who's protected the most, so I don't understand. How can you tell me there are no documents? Someone says, no, here we're dealing with shtar pikarita. We're dealing over here with the shtar that the Shchiv Meira had written up to document what he said, because the words of the Shchiv Meira kiksuv mesuvim dami, and in fact, he didn't write down anything, he didn't transfer over the shtar, but they had to document what he said. So in this document called the shtar pekarita, they wrote down what the Shchiv Meira said, but there is no documentation as to which loan came first, and therefore we follow the words of the Shchiv Meira, and Reuven is more protected than Shimon, was more protected than Levi. Okay. So we don't have a raya to what is the halacha. Is the matana considered like lukuchos, or is it not considered like lukuchos? The Gemara says, No. From this case, we could even say it wasn't talking about a case of tenu in regards to the chov. It still is actually talking about a matana. And nevertheless, you can't bring me a raya over here that a matan is like the lekuchos. The lo kasha, why is that? Because when it said over here, my gove mino achron, which seems to imply, if it's a matana, that we do in fact treat matanos over here like lekuchos, and therefore the first person with the matana is protected, even though he has the ben in his property, he can push off and say, go and collect from the guy who's third. So that seems to imply that the matanos are like lekuchos. No, it's not true. Because you know what we're dealing with over here? When it said govim in achron, it means en nifsad ela achron. It means that the achron is going to be nifsad, but it doesn't mean that you can't collect from the bein in this verse. So according to this, the answer is yes, it was a matana. So when the person is, let's say, owed $500, so he goes to the estate of Reuven and says, I'm entitled to connect bein in this. So I'm taking your bein in this of $200. As part of my 500, and then I'll take the 300 from either one of the other two. And therefore, he has the right to do that. So Reuven has to give up his bein and his property to the other person because we don't consider matana like lekuchos. But then Reuven has the right to say, listen, I'm first in the shtar pekadeta. He specifically said, I get the money. So then he has the right to go to either Reuven, has the right to go to Levi and say, listen, I had to give up my property. So my property was worth 200. I want to get my 200 back from you because I'm a priority in the shtar pekadeta. So Levi would have to give him the money. So ultimately, Levi is going to be the one that will lose out. Granted, Reuven lost his bein and his property, but he'll get back his Zibur's property equal to that 200. And therefore, the bottom line is you can't bring a raya from the case of the Shchiv Meirah that a matana is like the lekuchos. In fact, it might not be. And furthermore, Vibayisam, you could say that in fact, in that case, the Shavu Kulu Ladadi, all of them had the same property. They all had Beinanis, so they all had Ziburis, and therefore, that's why you can't bring any Raya to there, and we're left without answering the question, do we consider the Matana like Lekuchos or not? Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, Emotziim Liachilas Peros. We said that if Levi, in the situation where he bought a property that Shimon had stolen, so we had said that he's not allowed to go and collect from the lekuchos of Shimon. He had sold property to Yehuda after Shimon had sold the property to Levi. And Levi, when he can't collect from Shimon, is not allowed to go to the lekuchos of Shimon, to Yehuda, to go and collect for the peros that were eaten. Now, my time, why not? Because Amar Ula, Amar Rish Lakish, Ula said Amar Rish Lakish, Lefi She'en Ksuvim, because they're not written down. In this sale, when Shimon sold the property to Levi, he sold him the property, but the fruits aren't written down, the pears aren't written down. One of the questions, it says, wait, Amalei Rabbi Abba Ula, Rabbi Abba questions Ula, he says, V'ha mazon isha v'abonos, dechiman dechsive domu uktanei emotzim. But the same halacha applies when it comes to the obligation to go and feed the wife and feed the daughters before they become bogoros. So there's an obligation on the estate to go and feed the wife and feed the daughters. So that's considered as if it is written down. And nevertheless, we said, V'ktani ein motzim, you can't go collect from Yehuda in this situation as well. Why not? That is kisuvim. So it can't be because it's not written down. So when it says, Ula responds back to Rabbi Abba, and he tells him, Amalei, Hasam meikara hochi iskun. There, the rabbi set up this takana in the following manner. Kisuvin heim eitzel b'nei chorin. When the rabbi set up that you are allowed to go and collect for the wife's food and for the children, the daughters, until they reach the age of Bagras, so that was only from B'nai Chorin that the rabbi said that you can collect that from, but not from Mishubadim. So that's why you can't go and collect from our Yehuda in this situation, because those are Mishubadim properties. And the rabbi said that you can only collect from here, from properties that belong to him, from that are B'nai Chorin. And therefore, the wife and the daughters, until the age of Bagris, are supported only from B'nai Chorin and not from Mishubadim. V'chein amar Ravasi amar Yochanan. Ravasi said the same thing in the name of Yochanan, that in this situation, you can only collect from B'nai Chorin, but you can't connect from the Mishubadim, because Lefish ain't Ksuvim, exactly like Ula said in the name of Rish Lakish. Again, same question. Amalei Rabbi Zeir Ravasi. Rabbi Zeir said to Ravasi, I've had mazon isha v'abanos d'chaman d'chsi v'domo v'ktona emotzin. Same exact question as we had before, but you're allowed to go and collect for the wife and for the daughters before they reach the age of Bagris to go pay for their food. So you're not allowed to collect from B'nai Chorim there, but you're not allowed to go collect from the Mishubadim, and nevertheless, that is written down. So we give the same terrace as before. Amalei, Meikara Hachi Iskun, Ksuvin Hein Eitzel B'nai Chorim, Ben Ksuvin Hein Eitzel Mishubadim. Because the original takana was to allow the wife and the daughters until they reach the age of Bagris to be supported, have food given to them, that was only from B'nai Chorim. It was never instituted for Mishubadim. So therefore, there is no kasha. Now the Gemara goes and tells us, Rabbi Chanino Amar, another teretz is Lefi Sheng Subim. Not because they're not written down, it's because there is no set amount. How can a person ever protect himself? When a person buys a field, so he says, listen, I look to see, I do a title search, I look to see what debts this person has, and therefore I know that I'm safe. If I pay for this field, I know that he has enough money to cover the amount of money that the field is. He has some other properties, and therefore I can protect myself and not be worried. But with something that doesn't have a set amount, how can he ever figure it out? So therefore, Rabbi Chanina says, in the situation with Lefisha Ein Ketzuvim, so we don't go and allow him to collect from Mishubadim, because there's no way to protect yourself, because they're not a set amount. So this question was now asked, Ibailu, Rabbi Chanina, they asked the question to Rabbi Chanina, does it have to be written as well? Is it Ketzuvim? That not only it has to be something that is a set amount, and it has to be also written down in order for you to be able to collect from Mishubadim, or, and we turn to Nun Aleph Omer Aleph, Odilma, is it only talking about Kitsuvim, but the Alpha Pishen Ketsuvim, even though it's not written down, as long as it's a set amount, so then you can go collect from it. That's the question they asked to Rabbi Chanina and Toshma. We bring a raya from another statement that Rabbi Chanina had made, the Itmar, where Rabbi Chanina had said, if a person died Nebuch, and he leaves behind two daughters and one son. Now, the Kadma Harishona Vinotla Isu Nechasim. Now, the din is that when a person dies, so only the sons inherit the estate. So this son over here inherited the entire estate, the two daughters don't get anything. However, the daughters were entitled, the rabbi set up that each of the daughters entitled to get 1/10 of the estate for their dowry. So what happened over here? The older of the two daughters, v'kodma harishona v'notlo isur nechasim. So she went and took 1/10 of the estate as her dowry. And then, below his spiko shnia likabos, the second daughter did not have a chance to take her 1/10 of the estate for her dowry until Nebuch, the brother, died. Ad Shemes Haben, until the son of the person who died, in other words, the brother of these two sisters, died. So he now is dead, and he has no other inheritors. He's not married, so it goes up to the father. The father had no other sons, obviously, and therefore his Yerusha that he got through his dead son goes back down to the daughters. So Ad Shemes Haben, now the two daughters are able to go and inherit the entire estate, but one daughter already took 1/10 of the estate. So does the other daughter get the right to take the other 1/10 of the estate before they divide it up? Or we say no, that in this situation, we just divide up the remaining 9/10 of the estate between the two daughters. So in this situation, Amar Rechanina, Shnia Vitra. The second daughter has essentially given up her 1/10 of the estate because it all now is in the estate together, and the leech inherit 50% of the 9/10 of the estate that is left after the first daughter took her iser, the tenth that she's allowed. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. And on this, the Amalei Rabbi Chanina questioned Rabbi Yochanan, and he said, Rashi brings down, he said, really? Why should the older girl, because the fact that the older girl went and took her 10th, should the younger girl lose out from taking her 10th? So he said, Gedol mizu amru, even a greater statement was made. As Rashi says, Shafilu mochar ha'aches and chosim, if this brother had actually sold off these properties. So, motzin leparnasa, then motzin lemizonos. So then in this situation, we do go and go into those leaned properties, as Rashi says, miyada lekuchos ha'isur leparnasa. So the two daughters, if he had sold off the property, would be allowed to go to the lekuchos and take the isur from them. And even though, even for food they wouldn't be allowed to, but for this parnasa, for this dowry rights, they're allowed to. And you're saying that the second daughter somehow has given up her rights to the 1/10th? Who says that she has? And the Gemara explains further, V'har parnasa, this idea of the Isur Nechasim, this parnasa for her dowry, the Neikatz Kaitza, which is a set amount, it's 1/10th. However, Michtav Lo Ksiva, it's not written down anywhere. This is what the rabbi set up, that it's 1/10th. Nevertheless, you see, V'kal Motziya, that she's allowed to go and take it out. So therefore, you see clearly that if it's a set amount, it doesn't have to be Kisuvim, it just has to be Kitsuvim. So let us say that that's the raya that Rabbi Chanina wants to bring over here. Mora says, no, that's not the case. Shani Parnasa, given the Isla Kola, Kimanda Ksivadami. No, one can argue that here, this Parnasa, this Isur, this 1/10th that they're allowed, so that is as if it's written down, because it's very well known, it has a call to it, it has a certain publicization to it, and therefore it's as if it's written down, and therefore you could argue this is Kitsuvin and like Kisuvin. So therefore, this would be a situation where everybody agrees if it's Kitsuvim and Ksuvim, then you can collect. But we're still left with an unanswered whether if it's just Kitsuvim but not written down, what would the halacha be? And just an aside, Some of you might be thinking, isn't it a little bit unfair that the older girl, let's say she took one-tenth of the estate, so now the younger girl is going to take one-tenth of the remaining estate. So let's say it was 100. So the first girl is going to get 10. So then the 90 left in the estate, the second girl is only going to get 9. Isn't that unfair to the one who takes second? So the Gemara elsewhere asked this question, and the Gemara says that no, you basically take the 10 and the 9 that they get together, 19, and then divide that up. So each of them will get 9.5. So that's the right way to do this, and this is called the Isirusa de Rebbe. And that is the way that you make sure that everybody gets a fair stake. And this will conclude today's share. Again, we learned today, Lili Nishmas, my mother, Chana Basmer Avram, her neshama, her holy neshama, Shevin Aliyah, from all the learning that I try to do in her memory. Have a great day, everybody.